Okay, roll call. We have on the telephone or Teams, Mr. Rockwell, the chair, Tammy, the vice chair, Eric Smith, Henry Cole, Master Sergeant Rodriguez, John Crona, Master Sergeant Jim Dreyes, Lieutenant Hendricks, Bobby Carter, Pete Rogel, Josh Long, Naomi Ulrich, and Richard Sasai. And present in the room, we have Jim Goodman, Bruce Richter, David Reed, Mark Newman, myself, Nicholas Sandstock, Paul Hussey, Scott Storma. Did I miss anybody?
Kevin Farrell just joined.
Good afternoon. This is Carl Edwards. I didn't hear my name.
Oh, I missed you, Carl. Sorry about that. And who was the person before Carl?
Mary, it's Kevin Farrell from Motorola.
Oh, thank you.
Tim, an icon is on. I don't know if you called me or not. I jumped on a little late.
Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. We can move on to the first agenda item, which is the review and approval of the July 14th meeting minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve?
And this is Henry Cole.
Well, thank you, Henry. And I just realized I believe I said July, not August 14th. So I apologize to everybody, the August 14th. And we'll take that as a motion. May I have a second, please?
Jim Goodman.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Are there any updates, any questions, any concerns, any additions, any deletions to the August 14th meeting minutes? Hearing none, we'll approve the August 14th meeting minutes. We can move on to the next agenda item, which is the review of the issues and risk log. I believe there's only one update to the active issues and risk log, and that is on the 14th of August as well. Nick Vandenstock briefed that the item regarding the Birch Hill Master Site B system failure was completed. I guess at this time we can remove that from the issues log and consider it closed. The next item on the agenda, of course, is the action item list, and we only have one item that is a carryover from the October 2023 meeting, and that is that we'd like to have an update and demonstration of the technology of the APX Next radios. And we're waiting for that until we get closer to Critical Connect before we ask Motorola to give us some highlights on that. Any questions on either the issues and risk log or the action items? Hearing none, we can move. Yes, sir.
This is Scott. I think we're going to do, Nick and I were just talking, I think we're going to do some follow-up with the DOD on the Northern Zone power system just to make sure everything is complete on that.
I appreciate Scott. And if you just respond back, that would be wonderful.
Good.
And again, moving on to the operations management overview, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Mr. Paul Fussey. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. So we'll start out with the training. And the September video vignette is subscriber unit maintenance. So that's been posted on our website already. And Dan's working on a few other things for the training. But for right now, that the newest video is out there.
for outreach. Be a little busy. The OMO and SMO, we're going to meet with the CISA Tech Assistant team on 10 September. I attended the monthly APOA meeting on 3 September. And I'm also continuing to conduct the quarterly outreach emails to all organizations. So every group should have got an email from me with the subscriber numbers asking what radios they had that were TDMA, what needed a flash upgrade, and also what needs to be replaced. So I've been working with that. We finalized the membership agreement for the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol today. So we'll be working with them to get their individual ALMR numbers and start to put radios on the system with that one. And back on 23 August, myself, the SMO, the state and Anchorage Fire Marshals, and APSDS engineers, we met with individuals from the G-Way Solutions, and really good discussion on the new NFPA and IFC codes for the installation, inspection, and acceptance testing of BDAs and DAS systems. So the National Fire Codes and International Fire Codes, there's been a lot of updates on them with the bidirectional amplifiers and going through the installation of them and then having to have official paperwork for the FCC of any organization that's using radio signals and licenses and acceptance testing of them. And also the new regulations are they have to be inspected at least once a year. So that's what we've been doing for outreach. Moving on to the system upgrade, we do have another meeting set up on September 5th. And Nick's team, they conducted 7 PMIs for August. However, it's been a very busy summer, even with all the rain and the high winds. They've completed 34 PMIs since July 1. So they've been very busy out there. Also, the OMO and SMO, we are going to start contacting agencies that currently have all TDMA radios. So we're going to look at beginning to activate their talk groups to TDMA. However, we're going to do it slowly. We're not going to do it system-wide. And that was another reason for asking who had TDMA radios. So we're going to reach out to the smaller groups, start out small, and activating the talk groups. And then we'll start watching to see if there are any issues or any hiccups. So when they start working on the TDMA system, we want to make sure that it's a smooth transition. That's why we're not going to do it system-wide. Small groups at a time. One thing is we're going to be looking at, we're going to make sure that they have enabled their radios and the phase 2 voice capable box is checked on their programming software. And also we're going to monitor them, like I said, for a short time period. And as things look like it's progressing, then we'll start reaching out to other groups and start activating them on TDMA. So I know that a lot of folks think that December 31st, 2026 is a TDMA. It's not. So since the upgrade is pretty much done, we're going to start looking and contacting groups to go start going TDMA. One other thing on the system upgrade. I've had some agencies saying that their FDMA radio is going to be kicked off the system on December 31st, 2026. I want to direct people to the ALMR website. And on the approved radio list is the TDMA transition plan policy from April 13th, 2022. So the hyperlink is on their website, and it's been on the website for quite a while. So putting on a record here, this is the last two paragraphs the TDMA transition plan that was adopted by the user council. ALMR user council directed by the OMO and SMO to proceed with the transition of TDMA for the ALMR system. This transition will result in responsibility for all member agencies to transition to TDMA phase 2 compatible subscriber units.
no non-TDMA compliant radios are able to be added to the system as announced in January 2021. Any agencies will take immediate actions and steps to plan for the replacement of any non-TDMA radios, which may no longer be supported by the manufacturer. It is the goal of the User Council that all non-TDMA radios be replaced by member agencies by December 31st, 2026. Further, and this is very important, further, it is the intent of the User Council to not remove FDMA radios that may still be in use on that date. So to reiterate, this policy and procedure and the plan has been in effect since April 13th, 2022. So, is there any questions on that before I proceed?
Well, I just want to say thank you. This is John Rockwell. Thank you for clarifying that. I know there has been discussion. I think I was probably one of the first people that said that I've heard you're going to kick us off if we're not done, and I appreciate you clarifying that.
Okay. No worries, Mr. Chair. I just want to put that out on record.
This is Sarah Joyce from JBear.
Go ahead.
Do you have if we're not getting kicked off on 1 January 2026, do we have a date of when that'll happen?
The goal is to have the radios TDMA by December 31st, 2026, but we realized, and that's why it was put out like this, out in the policy back in 2022, that not everybody will be able to find money to transition over. And since the ALMR is a public safety system, we're not going to go around and turn off radios, especially for the military, police, fire, EMS. But keep in mind that if one FDMA radio is on that talk group and on that system, then it defeats the whole purpose of having TDMA. So we can discuss later on, but for right now, the goal is to have everybody transition over to TDMA, but it was never the goal to kick everybody off.
Okay, that works. Thank you.
You're welcome. So moving over to the document reviews, cybersecurity policy and procedure, privileged user, accessible use policy and procedure, and the spectrum licensing and management policy and procedures have all been updated, and they've been posted out on the website. And I will go to the metrics. So, Mr. Chair, can you still see my screen?
Yes, Paul, we can. Thank you very much.
Okay. We're having a little technical difficulties here, I guess. So we started looking at the monthly groups and individual calls. The calls were 1,448,998. The push to talks were 2,389,460. And the busies were 430, which is a pretty good drop from last month. And the subscriber counts were 32,240. So if we go to the site below 39, it's dropped down to 11. And you start looking at the monthly sites below 39. You can see that we had PMIs, there were some router upgrades, power outages, and then also the GCI circuit went down.
Might get too busy.
If somebody has an open mic.
Yes, Mr. Thomas, you have an open mic.
Stay away.
So any questions on the metrics? Okay. So for the other, and closing out here, the quarterly security patch was conducted on 28 and 29 of August. The SMO and OMO completed an ATP for the Viking Kenwood Mobile on 20 August. And we will also conduct an ATP with L3 Harris for the week of September 9th. And the final comment, for anyone who is not aware, officials with Ted Stevens Acreage International Airport conducted a mass casualty exercise that involved an active shooter scenario. So Nick and his team ran several reports to see how the ALMR system handled the extra radio traffic for that large exercise. There was a spike in site utilization compared to the prior week. However, the number of busies were actually lower than the previous week. So the ALMR system, once again, handled the large uptick in radio traffic for the large exercise. So that's all I have, Mr. Chair, pending any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fussy. Are there any questions for Paul? Paul, I got a quick one. Earlier on, when you were talking about your outreach, you said either that you're meeting with or you met with the techs or the tech assistant team. Who are they?
Mr. Chair, that is the CISA team, and we're going to be meeting with them. Through the chair, maybe Mr. Richter could expand on that.
John, we've got a team of people that are some of our subject matter experts coming up to meet with you, with Paul Fussy, and whoever he wants to include, and then traveling up to Fairbanks to meet with Kyle Green. And that's happening next week. They'll arrive in town on Monday, and they'll be meeting here Tuesday, I believe in the afternoon here in this room. And John, I need to pin down where you would like to meet in the morning, if you want that to be at your office or what. And then they'll be flying to Fairbanks and meeting with Kyle and going to several locations on Wednesday. Dave Dado and Woody Sandy are two of the three team members, and they've helped us with a number of projects in states all over the country, and we're kind of looking forward to the dialogue and the discussion, and hopefully a good technical assistance deliverable that Kyle Green had requested.
Most excellent. Thank you both, gentlemen. And I do recall it just that it threw me off on the term tech assistance team. And I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, you know, that whole connected vehicle concept type thing discussion as well. So I appreciate it. Any other questions for Paul? Hearing none, we can go to the next agenda item, which is the System Management Office Overview, and I turn it over to Mr. Nick Benestock. Nick?
Thank you, John. As Paul said, you know, we're still doing a lot of PMIs. Thank you for being patient with us as we get those completed. I do want to add on a little bit to some of the radio usage and kind of metrics aspect of it, where you know, going through some of the push-to-talks and call durations, you know, I don't know every single scenario that goes on or what's being discussed on the radio. However, you know, Paul can confirm this too. There are calls that we have seen, single calls, you know, one push-to-talk that lasts 4 or 5 minutes long. I don't know the full scenario of the situations. You know, maybe they weren't that kind of long duration of talking, and not saying anything about not doing it either. Just keep in mind, you know, to use proper radio etiquette, and, you know, other people might need to use that radio channel as well. Outside of that, dealing with the TDMA talk group transition, when we go to switch the talk groups over to BTDMA, if you start to experience bonks, essentially on the channels, these aren't the system denying you. In this case, it might be something related to the code plug itself. So if you do start to experience this, please call us up immediately and we can revert that set of talk groups back until we determine what's actually going on with that particular issue. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Nick. Are there any questions for Nick, the OMO office? Hearing none, We can go to the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. We can start with Mr. Scott Stormo for the State of Alaska. Scott?
Regardless of the status, I guess, of the Motorola upgrade for the state, and I can talk to the DOD too, unless Tim or somebody else is here. But the general routers have all been done at the RF sites. The RF sites are all set up for TDMA, and as previously discussed, they'll start a process to start cutting people over to using TDMA. Juniper routers still need to go in at the dispatch centers and a few other places, and those have arrived at Motorola's staging facilities, and they're just working out the plan to implement those. And those are at the state and local sites. On the Fed side, the microwave project is still kind of trying to be restarted. They've got a solution to put Nokia routers, as the state has done, at its sites, at a few of the DoD sites where they're needed, so they can cut over to the Ethernet microwave. And the hope is to get that done before it gets too cold, because there's still a lot of tower work that's got to be done to finish that project. And we will assist with programming the Nokia routers, because they'll basically be joining the state's MPLS network at that point. And that should get the new microwaves finished off for the DoD. I do not know if there's Juniper router conversation happening for the DoD or not, if that's going to be covered under this current project. So that may be another phase, unless there's another reason to do that, but I think they were looking at that at a different phase. So at that point, I think we're pretty close to final acceptance on the state side, and I think once the microwave is done on the DoD side, but can't speak entirely for the DoD side on that to know if they had anything else done on their proposal. So we're pretty close to the end of what's been going on for quite a few years now. So. And the good news is it'll be about time to start, the next system upgrade if we can get funding to get it off of 2021, which will be approaching, the yellow and the red zone of supportability. So that's why we continue to seek a SUA program, which kind of gets you on the books for kind of automatic every 2 years. It's a lot easier than these big capital upgrades happening periodically. So. I guess there is a couple of antennas that went in on the state's projects that they're having issues, and those are being worked by Motorola under the warranty repair side of the project. So it's not done by the project team, it's done by the maintenance team, and we're working with them to try to get that scheduled and get done, especially before winter gets here and tower work is less fun. So. Other than that, I do not have anything else to add, unless there's any questions for me.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any questions for Scott, State of Alaska? Moving on to DOD, is Mr. Woodall in?
He is not, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Then we can move over to the User Council representative updates. We'll start with the State of Alaska components. Any updates from DOT?
This is Henry Cole with DOT. I've got nothing really to add as an update, but I did want to just express my appreciation for Paul, Mr. Fussy, your patience with waiting while I took my time getting that TDMA breakdown report back to you. Sorry that took so long, but again, I appreciate your patience with it.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you, Paul. Next, DPS. I don't have any updates. I don't know if Lieutenant Ben Enves is online for any updates.
No updates for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. And we have SOA All Others, Mr. Nelson or Carl Edwards.
This is Carl. I have no input for today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We can move on to the DoD component. We'll start with the U.S. Army installations.
Hi, this is Eric Smith here. So I just want to appreciate Scott for the State of Alaska for taking lead on that project. Myself and Master Sergeant Gator Bottom are definitely filling in for these roles, and just want to let the team know that, you know, the Army is trying to research or trying to actually recruit a dedicated person to this council so it gets the attention that it needs, and we'll continue to participate as we are able to and participate in the upgrade project, but appreciate the State of Alaska, all the financial assistance and technical assistance that they provided to the Army to meet that requirement. But outside of that, I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I agree. I tell Scott all the time how I appreciate all that he does. We can move to J-Bear. Any updates from J-Bear?
Nothing from Elmendorf.
Well, thank you. And Eielson?
Nothing from Eielson.
All right. We can move to the federal non-DOD components. Anybody here from DOJ like to give us an update? How about DOI? Or any other federal non-DOD components?
Nothing from TSA for the good of the order. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And we can move to the municipal components. Anything from Central? Tammy or Jim?
This is Tammy. I don't have anything. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. How about North? Hearing none, we can move to Southeast. Lieutenant Kawarla.
Nothing from Juno.
Thank you. The next major agenda item is we can move on to new business. Before we move on to new business, are there any questions for anything that's been covered? Hearing none, we move to the first item of new business, and I turn the meeting over to Mr. Bruce Richter. Bruce?
Thank you for that, John. Can people hear me okay?
Yes, we can, Bruce. Thank you.
Coming up in October is going to be cybersecurity awareness month, but you don't need to wait till October. We had our deputy director up here to visit in June and gave a speech at the cyber conference down at the Egan Center. And he pointed out that CISA does not get paid by the product that we release in terms of when we release advisories or warnings. And when we do, there is usually a reason for it, and people might want to pay attention to that. And so I shared a link that'll go in the meeting minutes, I hope, with our latest cybersecurity alerts and advisories. And there's kind of a trend here. On July 8th, we released an advisory saying People's Republic of China, Ministry of State Security, Tradecraft in Action. And it went through some recent cyber attack that we can attribute to China. And even if you don't want to read all the technical details in there, I'd really encourage you to read the first couple paragraphs, just understand the scope of what's going on. Then on July 25th, we released an advisory, and these are joint advisories from FBI and some of our international partners. North Korea Cyber Group connects global espionage campaigns to advance regimes, military, and nuclear programs. And again, even if you don't want to read the whole advisory, take a look at the first couple paragraphs and just be aware of the scale of that. And then August 28th, just last week, Iran-based cyber actors enabling ransomware attacks on U.S. organizations. And we followed that the next day with some shareable information on the latest ransomware attack called Ransom Hub. And we've got a really pretty good website, CISA.gov, Charlie India, Sierra Alpha.gov. And I would encourage you to bookmark that and just be aware of what is going on. The threat is very real. It's an intense intelligent adversary that is actively looking to exploit opportunities and weaknesses, and being on the Pacific Rim and being a state with such a large military presence, we really are living in a time of a heightened threat environment. So don't wait for October to be cybersecurity aware. And I look forward to meeting with some of you next week when our technical assistance team is in town, and happy to answer any questions. Thank you for that.
Why, thank you, Bruce. Are there any questions or comments for Bruce?
The only addition, this is David Reed, the only addition I have is that while ALMR is more insular and still a target for these things, it is very important for you to remember that your home computers, those other networks you use at work, all of these are targets. So while it's mentioned in the ALMR meeting, what's talked about here is not specific to ALMR as far as cybersecurity threats go.
Excellent point, Mr. Reed. Thank you very much. Anything else? Okay, well, this is end of new business. I'd like to open the floor for any new business that anybody would like to bring up. If not new business, if there's any comments or questions, concerns, if anybody would like to just bring up some stories of how you're using the network or using the radio system, anything at all, the mic is open. So before I ask for a motion to adjourn, our next meeting schedule is October 2nd and November 6th. At this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Jim Goodman.
Thank you, Jim. And may I get a second?
Second from Bob Carter.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carter. Anyway, the meeting is adjourned.